I definitely see our church as kind of, kind of a scrappy, small church that, has some grit to it. And that's what I think of us as a church, is I want us to be a tough church. I really do. And I think this morning's message is going to be along those lines. You can turn over, if you'd like, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at verses 20 through 27. It's the only scripture we'll look at this morning. And we have our... Justin being out this morning, and the Davises being out, and their backup, Bridget, being out this morning as well. We're not going to have children's church this morning. Sorry about that, but I'm going to try to keep things more brief this morning, because I know it's a little bit more difficult for the younger kids to be in here, so we're going to keep things fairly brief this morning. Also, I'm not feeling exactly 100%, but it is great to be here this morning. And the title of the message this morning is Doing Our Part. And I think you'll see all these songs we've sung this morning go along well with this. But we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 27. If you remember from last Sunday morning, we preached a message entitled More Than Meets the Eye. More Than Meets the Eye. We talked about the prophet Elisha. And as the Syrian army was coming to capture him, if you remember... And his servant is getting really nervous as they're kind of up on this hill, up on this mountain. And he sees this army forming at the base of this mountain, and they're coming to seize Elisha. Elisha prays for his servant's eyes to be opened. Do you remember what he sees? He sees an army of angels surrounding the entire mountainside, the entire hillside surrounding them. And the point we're making last week is that there's more going on than we realize. There's more than meets the eye. We talked about how that's true physically speaking. Remember what I said last week? How fast is your car traveling right now? You remember the number? As it sits there, seemingly stationary, it's actually traveling over 600,000 miles per hour. There's a lot more going on than what we can see and what we can even experience or feel or realize. And that's true physically, and it's definitely true spiritually. There's more going on than you and I can see. And so this morning's message is going to kind of be along those lines as we preach about doing our part in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a very familiar scripture this morning. I think we went over this in Sunday school a few months ago maybe. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is talking about the body of Christ, talking about the church. And if you would stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 through 27. Listen to what this says. It says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness or attractiveness. The less attractive parts have more abundant attractiveness. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for this day and for this time together. And Father, we just pray for your blessing now, Lord, upon your word as it's been read. That God, we would not just be hearers of the word this morning, but that we would be doers of the word. God, I pray that these words can land upon our ears and our hearts, God, that we can understand our role and what you've called us to be as Christians, our role within the body as believers, and both here locally, God, and throughout the world. God, I pray that we can see our role and our part, our position, God, in this, and that, God, we would do the very best that we can, Lord, to serve you where you've called us. Father, I pray that we could get a vision for that this morning, Lord, that we can see, Lord, that it really matters how each one of us live our lives. No exception in this room, Lord. It really matters what we do, what we say, where we go, God, who we represent and all that we do. Well, many times we can think that what we do doesn't matter. We look at our country, we look at the world, the vastness of it. God, we can easily think that what we do is insignificant. But God, Your Word tells us otherwise. And I pray, Lord, that we can see that this morning, Lord, as we go into this message, that God, we can see, Lord, the importance of even what we're doing here this morning. That God, we can see the importance of what we do every single day of our life as we live, God, and dwell with Your Spirit and living for You. So, Father, I pray that You would give us that vision, give us that that inspiration, God, that challenge, Lord, for each one of us this morning, God, as we seek to serve You as believers and as Christians. And Lord, if there be any person here who is not a Christian, I pray that this morning, Father, they would make that decision, that they would follow You, that they would believe You, trust You in faith, God, and be called into service, Lord, for You and for Your glory. We pray and ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. As we see this analogy in 1 Corinthians 12, and you also see this over in Romans, this analogy of the body, I think that this primarily is referring to the local church. And this is, you know, as he's writing this to the Corinthians, he's talking about the church at Corinth. Okay, so this definitely applies to us as a local church this morning. And what he's saying is that it takes everybody working together. It involves absolutely everyone within this body, no exception. That's what we're called to do. And one thing we've identified over the last several months here is that this is not the way that most churches are set up today. It's not set up as if there's a body where you say every single member is essential. You have to have every single member. In fact, the way most churches are set up today, if there, you could probably pick a handpick 50% of the church that if they weren't there, it would basically make no difference. That is nothing close to what we're reading about here. When it talks about the body, if you lost half your body from here down or from here up or whatever, it would make a drastic difference. But in churches today, we have things like the 80-20 rule where it says that 20% of people do 80% of the work. Think about that as it relates to what we just read here. As you think about how churches are set up today, and we can be included in this as well, churches are weakened because of this. Because it doesn't involve everybody. And people feel like they can be, well, I'll be a spectator and let someone else do the ministry. And that cannot be how we're set up. That's not at all how this is described here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So what we've been doing as a church is we're taking steps here at Marble Hill to involve every member of this church in ministry. And I hope as you're out there, you know, sitting in the chairs out there, I hope that you're buying into this to say, I'm a minister. We've been covering this and covering this over and over again now. And we've been doing this for years, but especially over the last few months, that every single person in this room right now is a minister. Do you recognize that? You're looking at a minister this morning as I'm preaching this message, but I'm looking out at ministers. Every person in this room, if you've been born again, we covered this a few weeks ago, that if you've been reconciled to God, what does that make you? Automatically, instantaneously, as you are reconciled to God, as you've been saved, you become a minister of reconciliation. Every person in this room. And that's what you have to understand. I know that that's not the way we think about churches today, but that's what the Bible describes as a church. That's the biblical definition of a church, is that we are a body of ministers. Every person in here is a minister of reconciliation. Every person in this room is an ambassador for Christ. No exception. And you see that in almost every text, but for some reason, what we do does not match what the text is describing here. But we're taking steps as a church to involve every member of this church in ministry. We're doing this in small groups that are going to start back this coming week. And you think, well, you know, small groups are good, but I don't really feel led to lead a small group. But understand this, every single person in this church, even if you're not leading a small group, do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Mentoring at least one other person. Talking to at least one other person. Everybody in this church can mentor one other person. Someone you work with, your neighbor, somebody in your family, whatever it is. We're all called to be mentoring, to be teaching others. And that's why as we come together like this on Sundays and on Wednesdays, as you hear the message, feel free to go share this with somebody else. On Wednesday nights, we're doing storying right now with the idea, these are stories, as we go through and do these stories on Wednesday night, these are things that are very memorable. We cover the details of the story. We go over it. We talk about the application of it with the idea that you're going to go share that story with somebody else. Everything that we do as a church, we're steering it more and more towards it not just being about what happens at this pulpit, but what happens out there. What happens within this congregation. And I tell you this, imagine not everybody is called to be a pastor, okay? And not everybody is called to be a teacher. But as we talked about over in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking to the entire church when he says, at a time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again. He's talking to the entire church. He's talking to the entire church in the context of saying, no, you're not maybe not called to stand up and to lead a class or something like that and to lecture, but you are called to teach others. It's part of the Great Commission to tell others about Christ. So I want you to just imagine, I know that not everyone's called to be a pastor or a teacher, but think about it in this context. Imagine if this morning what we have here, maybe 45 people, 50 people here this morning. Imagine having 50 pastors assembled together who are coming together to get fed, to get charged up, to go back out into the world. It's closer to that than it is not to being that. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody in this room is called to be a minister. No exception. From the youngest to the oldest, those that have been saved and can even understand what it means to be saved. If you can understand it well enough to be saved, then you can tell it to someone else. You can explain it to somebody else. And so we are meeting here this morning as a congregation of ministers of the gospel. And that definitely fits much more closely to what Paul's describing here as the body of Christ. Every part is essential. Every single part. Because we're doing this as a body, as one unit. We are a part of one unit. So as we look at how we're involving every person in this church, every member of this church in the ministry, through small groups, through storing, through talking to other people, and we recognize, this is the point of the message this morning, that we are only a part or a piece of the whole. And that's true for every person in this room. We can do very little individually. You and I can do very little individually. I read a book here recently. That's what that Kenny had given to me that has really sparked this idea of doing small groups. And the name of the book is this: Church is a Team Sport. Church is a team sport. Do you know what that's talking about? What are some sports that aren't team sports? Somebody name one.
Wrestling.
It's mano a mano. It's one person against somebody else. You're on a team. You're trying to score points to get more points for your team. But ultimately, it's a standalone athlete. Mixed martial arts are the same way. It's one man against one man. One woman against one woman. It's an individual sport. What's another individual sport? Boxing's another one. One guy in the ring against one other guy. There's not a team. It's one-on-one. What's another one?
Ping pong.
Ping pong. Okay, yeah. We're getting desperate. Golf might be another one. It's just how good are you? How good are you? Floyd Mayweather, I think he's the richest athlete in the world. Who's on his team? Nobody but himself. And he gets all the money too. That's why I think he made like $80 million or something last time he fought before he retired. But he's a boxer. He's a very successful boxer. I don't think he's ever lost. It's an individual sport. How good is he? Regardless of whoever walks down the ring with him, he's going to be the only one competing, representing himself. That's not what church is. Do you understand? But we get that mentality. Do you know what a lot of people think about churches? How good's your pastor? That's what it comes down to. I've seen churches really grow because of a new pastor. And then that pastor leaves. What happens? They really shrink. That doesn't sound like a team sport, does it? That sounds like an individual sport. What we're doing here, this is not an individual sport. This is a team sport. This is football. This is baseball. This is basketball. Cricket, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, I guess, yeah, cricket probably has a team element, obviously. It's kind of like baseball. This is a team sport. And an individual can do very little in a team sport. Can do very little by themselves. Let me give you an example. I'll just use him again because we've been using him for the past several months as an example. Tom Brady. I don't like him. Well, not personally, but you know, I want him to lose often and I'm disappointed often. I don't like the Patriots. I don't like Tom Brady. But man, they're good. And he's going to go down as the greatest NFL quarterback of all time. He is. Sorry, Jeannie. It's going to happen. Five Super Bowls, right? He's won five Super Bowls. He's played in seven. His stats are off the charts. He's going to go down as the greatest NFL quarterback of all time. Imagine doing this. You take Tom Brady and you trade him to the Cleveland Browns. What was the Cleveland Browns' record last year? 1-15. They won one game last year. Do you know what's going to happen next season if you trade Tom Brady to the Cleveland Browns? His numbers are going to completely bottom out. He'll probably get injured because one player can only do so much in football. What's Tom Brady's left tackle's name? Name three of his receivers. One thing about the Patriots, they don't have a bunch of superstars. They have basically one superstar, then a bunch of role players, but they win. Because they understand Bill Belichick, who I also cannot stand, but he's going to go down as probably one of the greatest coaches of all time in the NFL. He understands it's a team sport. It's not about getting some big franchise player, some star player. It's about getting guys who can do the job. That's the way church is. It's a team sport. You know, I don't care if somebody evaluates this church. I don't want them just to listen to my sermons online or show up here and listen to me preach and say, let's see what kind of church it is. I'd rather them do this. I'd rather them catch the first person out the door and begin to ask them what they believe and why they believe it. To pick a person at random and say, what do you believe about Christianity and why do you believe it? That tells us how successful we are as a church. Not what I say from this pulpit. This is a team sport. It involves every person in this room. And I hope that you really believe that because that's exactly what the Bible describes about church. And it describes the body. You lose your left hand, it affects how you do everything. You lose your right leg, it affects how you do everything. You lose your hearing in one ear, it affects how you do everything as a body. It affects the whole. That's what's being described here in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the way this church is. We have to be strong at every position. Not just one position or two positions, but at every position within this church. And I want us to be deep at every position. This morning is a good example. We have a lot of people out traveling. We have a lot of people out sick. We need more depth. There's a saying in sports that says, next man up. Next man up. Do you know what that's referring to? You're in the middle of a game. You've got your star quarterback. You've got your star middle linebacker, whatever. One play, they break their leg. Now what do you do? You recognize that, you know, this player is making however many millions of dollars per season because they're that good, but now their leg's broken, they're out of the game. What do you do? Well, first you panic, but then you say, you know what? Next man up, who's his backup? Get warmed up, you're going in. And you got to be ready to go in. Can you imagine being, you know, you think of guys like Aaron Rodgers. He was a backup for Brett Favre for years and years and years, but he had to be ready all the time because when Brett Favre went down, he had to go in. Brett Favre was getting older. He didn't hardly miss any games. So he's sitting as a backup. Being a backup for Brett Favre is not much of a career because he never gets injured. He never goes out. But you have to be ready at every second because when he goes out, somebody else steps in and you can't miss a step. You cannot miss a beat. That's what we mean by when we say next man up. Yeah, it's bad that somebody gets hurt. You're worried about him. You don't want them to be injured. But you have to go on and keep playing the game and somebody's got to step up. I told Justin here recently, and understand we're not there yet. But I want us to get there. I told Justin here recently, as we're talking about doing this storying and getting more involvement. And I'm not calling you, I'm not saying that you need to, you can't have an entire church of teachers. But boy, I think you can have an entire church where somebody can fill in for anybody at any given time. As we're doing this storying, teaching how to tell stories from God's Word, it is preparing us to be able to have conversations with other people, but it also prepares us for what we can do as a church. I told Justin, I said, I have a vision of one day this church of if he has to be out and we need someone to teach children's church, we got about 30 people to pick from to say, I can go tell those kids a Bible story. and they can learn it and understand it. And when you come back the next week and you say, what did you go over? They'll remember it. And I think that can happen. They can remember details from the story. Every person in this church is capable of doing that. I believe that. That's what we're moving towards. We're not there yet. That's what we're moving towards. Can you imagine having a church like that where, I mean, honestly, you could, if someone was visiting this church and you said, man, Justin, whatever, I had a car wreck on the way here. He can't be here to teach his children's church. We need someone else to fill in. You could tell somebody, you go out in that congregation and you pick one person. Or you pick a couple. Pick one adult out. And they can roll in and they can fill that position. That's the kind of church I want to be. That sounds like a body. That sounds like a team. In baseball, usually in baseball is where you see this most often. You have players that you call utility players. A utility player, you know what that means? That means we need someone at shortstop, they go play shortstop. Right fielder's out, they go play right field. We got our catchers out, they go play catcher. They can play any position. That's the way I want to be as a Christian. Hey, do I need to lead singing this morning? Do I need to preach? Do I need to teach? Do I need... Is James out with having a hip replacement? Who can clean the church? Everybody can just roll into any position and do what needs to be done. I want to have depth as a church to where we have a list of 10 people that can teach our children's church that are equipped and ready, and they can do a good job. You don't have to be Justin, okay? One thing I love about this church is that we're going on a mission trip to Haiti. I appreciate Bill. Bill's a utility player. What do you need him to do? He can do anything. He can teach class. He can preach. He can lead singing. He can run a vacuum cleaner. I've seen him hours, hundreds of hours of running a vacuum cleaner, moving tables. That's what I want to be as a church. I want us to be a gritty church where you just pick somebody and say, you know what? You can lead singing. You don't have to be a wonderful singer. You just have to care about what you're doing and say, let's just lead the congregation because it's a congregational singing. That's why I want to get you guys singing more, because I want us to be singing together. Not just listening to some performance. So again, I want every person in this church to be engaged in everything that we do. You think about mission trips. I love having utility people on mission trips because they can lead in prayer. They can share a Bible story. They can lead a hymn. They can do whatever needs to be done. You know? And that's what that body looks like. It's where we're all working together. And I'm not saying that you are going to become a teacher necessarily, or a pastor or something like that, or a song leader, but just being able to roll in that position and say, there's a need, I'll meet it. I'll figure it out. And we're working towards that. You may not realize it. You may not feel it, but we're working towards that. In these small groups, you're getting more and more comfortable talking to other people. And it just grows from there. Maybe then leading other people to where it can be amazing where you'll be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And you don't rush this. It takes some time. Discipleship takes time. This is what we're talking about being that body of Christ and about training people, preparing them and equipping them through everything that we're doing right now as a church. That's where all this training in small groups is preparing everyone to just be able to talk to other people and to share God's Word, to share stories from God's Word. Now this is where we fit in as a local church. And I think that this scripture is primarily talking about this as a local church. At Marble Baptist Church, what's your role? Where do you fill in at Marble Hill? Where do you fit in? But this is also true for other churches in this area. Because you understand that our church right here can only do so much. Even if we are operating on all cylinders, with every person strong and mature and equipped, we can still only do so much as a church in this community, in this county. That's why at the same time we're praying, as being part of that body, we're only part of it. We're not the whole thing. You understand, there's times I feel like as a Christian, it feels like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders because there's so many people that are lost. So many people that don't know Christ. You look at the drug epidemic in our county right now. You cannot imagine how many people are addicted to opiates, to pills. It's an epidemic right here in Blount County. And there's hope for those people that are addicted, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to work with them and to help get them out of addiction, and to mentor them, to pour into them, to help basically put the pieces back together in their life. It takes a lot of time, and we can only do so much as a church. That's why I pray for Marble Hill, but I pray for every church in Blount County. I pray for Rio. I pray for Broadway First Baptist. I pray for Dawson Memorial. I pray for every church in this county, because it takes all of us working together. It's not a competition. There is more than enough work for every church in this county to be doing. I'm praying that every church in this county will be strong and be able to minister to our community. It takes everybody. As I mentioned that here locally, that's obviously the case also nationally or internationally. We can only do so much. We're getting ready to take a trip this summer to Haiti. We can't fix Haiti, can we? Can Marble Hill Baptist Church fix Haiti? 10 million people, pretty much the entire country, is living in extreme poverty. Can we fix that? Not even close. But listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. India is the same way. Almost 1 billion people. Over 1 billion people. 1 billion of them are Hindu. The majority of them are living in extreme poverty. Is this church going to fix India? There's no way. Here's the thing. We can't fix these situations. But listen to what I'm saying this morning. We can do something. Can't do everything, but we can do something. And we're going to do something. I like this little story. I think Pat told it one time. And I know I've told it since then. But there was a little girl that was on a beach, and there was all these starfish that had washed up. There was just probably thousands of them that washed up there on the shore. She was picking them up. She was throwing them back in the water. And this guy was jogging, some kind of businessman or something, was jogging along the beach that morning, and he saw this little girl picking up a starfish, throwing it in. Picking up a starfish, throwing it in. He ran past her, kind of saw what she was doing, came back by as he was running back, and he stopped and said, Why are you throwing these starfish back in? He said, You could be here for 3 or 4 days, you'd never get all these things thrown back into the water. What difference is this going to make if you throw those in? And the little girl picked up a starfish, and she threw it in. And as she did, she said, well, it mattered to that one. She picked up another one, threw it in, kept doing what she was doing. I like that story. It has some moxie to it to say, you know what? I'm going to do something. I can't do everything. I can't fix everything here, but I can do something. That's kind of what she was saying. As a Christian, that's the way that I feel. Man, the needs are tremendous. In our community, in our nation, internationally. Do you understand there's 2 billion people who've never even heard the name Jesus? I'm one person. We're one little country church. We can't tell 2 billion people about Jesus, but we can do something. And we will do something. As a body, as a team, we're going to do something. We can't fix the nation of Haiti, but we're going down there to do what we can do. And you know what? If other churches will go down there and do what they can do, it's amazing what can happen. We can do something. The point is this. We need to be faithful in our role. You need to be faithful where God has called you. Amen. And do the very best that you can. Do the best we possibly can, because we never know what else is going on. You know, I talked about Elisha last week. Elijah, who was his mentor, there was a time in his life he believed he was the only believer left in Israel. He really believed that. And to the best of his knowledge, he was the only faithful person in the entire nation of Israel. And he prayed to God and said, God, the entire nation has turned against you and I'm the only one left. And he meant that. He said that was a true statement. As far as he knew, that was a true statement. Do you know what God told him? As he's discouraged, as he's basically ready to give up, God comes to him and he gives him some orders and says, you go anoint this individual as king, and this individual as king, and this individual as the priest. And he says, and by the way, I have 7,000 men who I've reserved, who have not bowed a knee to Baal, that are still faithful, that Elijah had no knowledge of. I don't know what's going on in the world. I read this report. I mentioned this Wednesday night. We're doing work in India as a church. We can't transform the nation of India by ourselves, but we can do something. One kid at a time, one pastor at a time, one church at a time. Compassion International, as you all well know, is leaving India this week. They're not just leaving, they're being kicked out. They're being kicked out by the Indian government. Somewhere close to 600 caring centers in India are going to be closed. They do child sponsorships, very similar to what Grace Iris Ministries does, but on a much, much larger scale. Do you know how many kids are going to lose sponsorships? March 15th, whatever day that would be, I guess Wednesday? Tuesday? Do you know how many kids are going to lose sponsorship? 145,000. Just like that. We need to be praying about that.
Amen.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know how God might be able to turn that around and change that and transform that. I don't know. Like we were saying last week, there's more than meets the eye. There's more going on than I could ever imagine. There's part of me that says, God, why would you allow that to happen? God, why don't you intervene and change that and turn that? But you see, Christian organizations were kicked out of China about 60 or 70 years ago. And since that time, Christianity has absolutely exploded in the nation of China. Christian organizations may get officially kicked out of India, but you understand why they're cracking down on it? Because Christianity is spreading in India. I don't know what all is going on. But here's the thing. I don't have to know all the details to know this. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to do the best that I can. As I've told people for years about this ministry in India, I'm going to do as much as I can for as long as I can, but one day that door may close. I'm going to do the best that I can until it does. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what might be happening in other parts of the world or in other parts of our country or our community, but here's what I know. I need to do the best I possibly can as a member, as a part of the whole of the body of Christ. And I've made up my mind to do this, and hopefully this is a challenge to you as well. I'm going to do something every day. Every day I can do something. It may not be earth-shattering. It may not seem like it makes that big of a difference. In fact, at the end of the day, it may seem like, well, that was just a wasted effort. But I can do something every single day. And you can too. Understand, we're all in this together. This is a team sport. This is a body. And every person in this room is important. Every person in this room is needed. As we get ready for an invitation, I'm going to, if I may, I might lead our invitation this morning.